fabulous if all the members go for lunch, but Kay doesn't matter. We are back now, and I'm then handing over to you for your responses.
Thank you, Chair. I think we'll, between myself and the CFO, will respond to your questions, to the questions of honorable members. Let me give the first one to the CFO, the one on ICT. Okay.
Thank you. All right, the first question on ICT, the targets and the turnaround strategy and action plan. So just to give you background on the two targets that were not achieved in ICT, it was the EDE system that we contracted out, and then also on policy implementation. So on the EDE system, what happened is we issued the PLR, but we had to reissue. And in the time that we reissued, the council's term expired. And then we were for 6 months without a council. And in terms of our SEM policy, all tenders, about 500,000, go to council for approval. So that withheld the process, hence the target was not met. However, the target has accelerated the process, and we've now done the system, created the system, and we are now on target again in the new financial year. And then on the policy implementation. So the problem there is, it might be with the way we crafted our indicator. When we calculate the achievement, we stated that 100% of the ICT policies to be implemented. And we listed six policies that we wanted to implement throughout the year. Then, when the internal auditors audited our achievements, they did not agree with us because they read the sentence as that we have implemented 100% of each of the six policies, meaning that each and every control in each policy, they listed 150 controls that they could find in the policy, and they found six controls of the 150 that they said we didn't implement, therefore we did not implement 100%. And that made the target. So it was a bit of a fight. Unfortunately, it's internal audit against management. So we've indicated that target is not achieved, but we've learned from that to rather craft and give, because, I mean, no company can implement all the policies 100% to the T. You must give a little bit of a 5% margin of things that overlap or human error, etc. So that was the issue. And the target has changed before, obviously because the target, the policies have been implemented, so there's no need for action plan. There's a new target in the place of that one. So that's on the IT targets that we set. And you also mentioned the 4% decline. I think the main reason was now that 4% resulted in one performance indicator additional to the previous year, from the 90 to the 86%, that was not met, and that the one was actually due to the IT. So that's the reason for the decline, which I've explained. On the other members' question, on page 92, table 38, the trading expenditure in program C, we've got only three employees, and that's our research program. I know the one employee are busy with a PhD currently, means that trading was undertaken, and the other two employees, they did receive trading in the current financial year. They recently received trading. Then on page 93, table 39, the question on the vacancy, that there's a program, that governance program with zero people, is basically that function is undertaken by the research unit, which the expenditure is indicated in program 3. There's nobody delegated to doing the task. On the irregular expenditure, alright, so our irregular expenditure was a total of the 6 million. It was 142,000 that the CBE contributed. It consisted of two, rightfully said. It's the contract extension. That 13,000 rand was an overspill from the previous financial year of one of the contracts. There's one instance where it just overspent when we realized that it was an overspend and we immediately stopped the contract. We've already paid 3 months into the financial year. So that's just, it's not a new type of irregular expenditure. And in the 129,000, okay, there's a story behind that. We've initially seen it as a sole source deviation. We didn't disclose it as irregular expenditure. It was four instances of where we provided training to our staff, all four related to training. And when we do our needs analysis and our terms of reference, we highlight what we'd like our people to be trained on, and that would be linked to their PDP, the Professional Development Plan, in their performance agreement. So sometimes we will do, or not sometimes, we always do a Google search to see which institutions will cover XYZ that this employee has indicated they need additional training on. And then in that stage, if it's for the next 2 quarters we want to send the employee and we don't find anything else, we go to the deviation group. So then our internal auditors, they pick these four up on our, they audited our deviation register. And they felt like we should have gone a normal procurement route. So we did not agree with them. So before we issued the financial statements to the Auditor General, we asked them to have a look at these four instances. And they also felt like we should not go on a sole source for training. We should follow a normal procurement process. So we rather discussed it in an irregular to maintain our clean audit status. However, we've had a debriefing with the Auditor General quite recently, and that was one of the issues we discussed with them, and we actually did follow up touch base this morning on it. They will give us something in writing on training, a consultation on training, on how we can handle this issue going forward, because we've now found that we've got fly-by-night that want to give training and then it basically put it away, so of course we don't get the value for money putting enough people on training. But in the main, until we get that clarity from the Auditor General, we strictly go no deviation route on any training. We go the three quotation routes with a clear statement that we do have the right not to issue the award. We've also now included in all our TLRs a due diligence as a second leg to our process, to do a due diligence on the service provider and to see whether we get acceptable responses out from the market on whether they were satisfied with this specific service provider. And that's the extent of our irregular expenditure.
Thank you, CFO. Chair, let me just have other questions. I think we have also noted the comments and the input by Honourable Member in terms of the students that we are supporting by giving them stipends. We will in future try and work together with them so that they are able to pay back, I think, in terms of engaging in community work. Yes. And then on the issue of how accurate are the records, the councils, they keep in touch with their professionals because the professionals, they have to register on an annual basis. So they know, and those who have gone overseas, some of them, they also continue to register with the with our professional council. So the record that we have is actually the current record.
So even if they overseas,
they still register with our council there. I think it also benefits them to do so. And then the role of CBE in rural schools is to promote the built environment. What we normally do at the moment, we work together with, or we piggyback, if I may use that word, on the work, the outreaches that are done by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And also, if some of our councils are doing the outreaches, we also piggyback on those outreach programs. We really want to cover all the 9 provinces, all rural areas, in terms of exposing our learners. But best going forward is to work through the Department of Basic Education. Sometimes some of the districts, they invite us if they have such a program, outreach program. But I think in our new strategy, we are going to ensure that we strengthen our budget for marketing so that we reach out to those schools that are not within the easy reach. And then the transformation in Daba, whether we are going to roll out into other provinces, I think currently that's still difficult, but we can do it once we know that we are having a good marketing strategy. We'll be able then to start to rotate them into different provinces. And I think that will work very well, especially once we start to engage municipalities, because there are some of the professionals that are there in different municipalities. So when we do that, I think we'll be able then to reach out to those as well. So we will look into that in future. But I think for now, we are still comfortable with doing it in Pretoria. And then the issue on, okay, why we are only focusing on the metros. The candidacy program is a program that we want all municipalities and private sectors, for that matter, to adopt. So it's not that we are just focusing on metros, but we have started with this candidacy program, I think, during 2017-18 financial year. We are going to work with all the municipalities, but unfortunately, we cannot do all of them at once. So it's just a step-by-step initiative. So we are going to involve them, but I think for now, we're able, because we must also look into our own internal capacity. We only have 3 staff members who are dealing with the skills for infrastructure delivery. So we must, when we are planning, we must also think about that as well. The issue of the policy, I think the policy is a function of the department, but I know that the policy unit, DM, I think I'm speaking under correction here, is busy working on that area. There is progress that is made. I think once they've made some strides, they'll come back to us to report on the progress. So currently, we are just leaving at them to continue with what they are currently doing. We did submit our input to them. Yeah. And then may I also try and explain the difference between, or the mandate of the CBE and the CIDP. CIDP's role or mandate is to focus on contractors. And the CBE is to focus on built environment professionals. Yes, there are professionals who are doing contract work. So when we talk about our CPD, it's talking to continuous professional development. And then the CIDB CPD is talking to the contract program development. So I think that's where it looks like it's the same thing, but our focus is a little bit different. We take care of the needs of the professionals, and they take care of the needs of the contractors. And when you talk about the contractors, it's everybody. Some of the contractors, the contract owners, are teachers. Some of them, you know, so they are not basically the built environment professionals. And then the issue of, I think there was item 3.3. The alignment of that, so there is no alignment.
Yeah, the actual target versus what that requirement was. Did you just check that in your
I think, okay, we do, but that is the indicator, I think, talks to the number of research, number of advisory research. Is that the one?
Yes, I think so.
I think that's the one. That is our performance indicator. And our target is one advisory report. I don't know whether we are talking about the same thing.
What it says there, sorry, Jesus. It says there, number of advisory reports, and then achieved research report on the analysis of the impact of CDE's maximum science support program. That's the correct report. Because it says it's the number of advisory reports on health and safety regulations within the public sector, and then the actual achievement speaks to the CDE's maximum science support program.
Oh, for 2017-18, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much for that. And then on the on page 174, it's about the accreditation. I think we are talking about our role there. The role of CBE is to ensure that there is consistent and uniform application. We don't do the accreditation, but the council do the accreditation. But we have to be there at CBE to monitor, because that is our role anyway, to monitor whether the way they do accreditation at VIRDS is the same as they do it at Walter Sisulu or any other university. So basically we go there as the monitors of that. And we also work and report to CHE. Sometimes when we have meetings with them, if there are any discrepancies on those areas. And the issue of who's providing oversight over the council, CBE is doing that, is playing that role. We had a meeting with the Deputy Minister, I think it was last week, and I think one of the area issues that he raised as well was that we need to give her a quarterly report on the performance of the council. They do submit to us their quarterly reports, but what we normally do, we just consolidate their report into the annual report, but we are going to be reporting to her as well on a quarterly basis. But what sometimes the public works does and infrastructure, they also invite the council. We agreed with them that every after 6 months, CBE will not be alone, but we'll also bring along the six council so that they can also be part of the family, because they are a part of the family. So, but we will, from our meeting, we'll also be submitting those quarterly reports. And then the page 188. I think it was just a typo there on the volunteer association. The volunteer association, yes, they are 12. And we'll correct that one. The registered candidates, what is our commitment? Honorable Kopani, I think we are committed. That is why we have the structured candidacy framework. We developed it because of that need to make sure that we are pushing through the candidates. That's why we also did our pilot project, because we had to support the candidates ourselves so that we will understand what are the issues on the ground. And we identify some of the issues. Some of the candidates that are there, you find that the work that they are doing is not supporting them to be registerable. So in terms of our input to those companies, especially to the public sector, is to advise them to rotate those candidates so that they are exposed to different work experiences. Because when they go for interviews, they have to they must be able to align their work with engineering. I think it's 12 outcomes. And you cannot sometimes be exposed to those 12 outcomes in one company. So we encourage the public sector and the companies, for that matter, that they can rotate those candidates so that within their stay in those companies, they are able to register. So another thing that we are doing now with the CITAS is to also take care of those candidates who are not employed. Because unfortunately, some of them are not employed. So we are working with CITAS so that they can even change their policies, that they can pay the stipends of those candidates. Because those candidates, it means they cannot register if they don't have financial muscle. So CITA is looking into that to ensure that at least all the candidates are registered. But I think that's what we are doing at the moment, but also to work as we have done with those the municipalities to ensure that, because some of them they do have programs, but they are not structured like a saving municipality. They do have a program, but it's like an ad hoc thing, you know. So when we come with the structured candidates, we help them to develop that plan of action for that candidate. But we also bring along the council themselves so that they can help the candidate. And we also pay in some of them, in some instances, we pay for the mentors so that they can work with their candidates so that they, you know, they need that mentoring so that they are able to even in their workplaces, they must be able to align their work with the outcomes that are required by the council. So this is from our side what we are doing in terms of helping the candidates that are struggling with their registration. And then in terms of slide 41, the nature of complaints, Chair, I'm glad that we are bringing the councils on the 21st. And I think they will be able to talk more about the complaints that they receive. But perhaps I can talk about the complaints that we receive at CBE. It's when there is disagreement on the outcome of the disciplinary action of the professionals, then the professionals, they bring those appeals to the CBE. And I think we are dealing with one case at the moment where one of the client who used a registered professional was not happy with the service of that professional. So he took it through the council first because that is the way that it's supposed to be done. And then he was not happy with the outcome, and then he brought it to us as an appeal. But I think the council, when they are here, they will be able to speak more about some of the complaints that they receive. And major many of these complaints, it also emanates on the refusal of registration. I've also dealt with one case where a group of especially most of them were Africans. They were aggrieved that they've been trying to register, but they've been refused to be registered by the council. So we also intervene in those complaints when it reaches us, that we allow the council first to deal with them. If they still set disagreement, then it is elevated to the CBE. I think you, Honorable Member, you also spoke about the candidates and whether we need to change some policies. Yes, it's part of the things that we are engaging on with the council. The example of the one that I've just cited, where you know, it's also the number of years that is expected for the candidates to complete before they are registerable. So all those things, some of them talk to policy reviews of the council, but how they conduct interviews. EXA, for example, is a good example because they have now changed the way they do their interviews. The candidate will submit and they will send it to different panels who don't know each other. So they are also using the technology to ensure that they remove the human element, because that was some of the complaints that an African candidate will come and on the table we have old white male, and that on its own it might discourage the candidate. So Yes, the councillors are looking at their processes and to look at how best they can make sure that the candidates are registerable. And then the EPWP, our research was to look at the built environment professionals, because if you their responsibility is to transfer skills. So our point as we engage with them is that some of these skills are required by the unemployed built environment graduates. It also comes back to us working closely with the municipalities, because the municipalities can help us to identify those unemployed graduates. It talks to our system that we are developing, because once we have the names and CVs of those unemployed graduates, we'll then be able to align them with the projects that are being done in different municipalities. So currently what we do, we work through with the council, with the professionals, but we are also working closely with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, EPWP. So our research team, they have engagement, so that we also ensure that there is that skills transfer that is happening through those projects. I think the other one was a comment from Honourable Member Shabalala that about improving our footprint. I think we have, in our new strat plan, as I've indicated, that we thought about that we have not been servicing the public as per our mandate. So our new strat plan is looking into that. We will set aside the budget for marketing so that we increase we improve our footprint in all municipalities. I think, Chair, I think we have covered the questions, unless you have missed some.
Yeah, any words, please?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the three in Bogoto. Yes, they know their story, which is what we want. And I think we must, besides the fact that they are in Bogoto, we must make the noise when we see that they're in Bogoto, which most of the time are looked down upon, are able to tell their story and in a manner that convinces all of us. So I do really want to congratulate the team. I think they performed quite well. Chair, if mine is really just to emphasize what we raised yesterday in terms of what was raised, that I hear them, they say, no, we focus on these ones and these ones focus on those ones. But if you process further, you will find that there is some way where there should be an intersection. And in as much as we want that intersection, because it talks to integration, but it must be structured in a manner that makes government, not now the different entities, but government as government, to be able to measure the impact of the programs that are funded through government, whether it's through department or its entities or together. But when one is doing the little thing in the little corner, the impact cannot be as much as it would have been. I made an example during break time when we were chatting, to say CBE can help us to to indicate that with the pie chart report, which says you have 20-odd percent women and 70-odd percent male, if you were to tease that down, you may find that this 27% may be concentrated in one field and not in other fields of the construction or built environment. And therefore, they should be able to, in the analysis, say, for us to change this picture, we need so many of this capacity and so many of this capacity, so that even at a point of identifying candidacy, people to be trained to be candidates, even at that early point, you are able to target in a concerted way, so that government at the end is able to say we have so much of this skill in abundance, or we have so much of shortage here, and that being reported by government. So we still need to do a lot of work in building the bridges in the work streams that we do, such that those bridges lead us to one center, which can therefore be able to report to say, this is the impact of government work. And the kind of drive and restructuring that we are talking about is that kind of restructuring. When we say to them, go and look at yourselves, they come back and think that, yo, they want to close us down. And it's not about closing anybody down. It's about ensuring that there's no duplication and everybody is working towards achieving those goals of government, as goals of government. So, yes, I'm therefore saying what they are reporting is a good start, but there's some work that we need to do together so that we are able to come to the committee at some point and be proud to say, now as the nation, South African nation, this is where we are. For me, national is not necessarily to be in Johannesburg and surrounding. National is about coordinating that which is happening in the various corners of South Africa to a point where you are able to report and say, this is what is happening in South Africa, and it being singular. So I really do want to appreciate the effort and how they are driving the organization, because they give confidence also. The acting chairperson is a woman, deputy, and you know, it's always encouraging for us to take those notes. But as they have reported, we are engaging with them to try and share this message that talks to the need for all of us to pull towards the center in a manner that gives confidence in the space we are operating in. And therefore, Chaplain, I did not apologize. Apologies for not apologizing. Because I came in when the first group had already started presenting, owing to my problem of yesterday. It had a spillover to this morning, but I tried to be here. At least I found them on slide 8 or so out of the many slides they had. My sincere apologies for that. It is not in my culture. And thank you very much for the opportunity, and well done to CBE. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiam. Again, I appreciate the way the team, as led by the acting chairperson, responded and presented their case. It's always good, even to read the reports of AGM about people here. We get excited when we see that one of the entities is coming forward and has been consistent in doing that. Though there are issues, not necessarily financial, but the issue of the council. We raised that sharply with you, whenever the council needs to be transformed. And what was good is that we were speaking with the chaplains of the council, or president, yeah. And some of them, they reported their challenges. I think we really need to look at the regulation of transforming those candidates to professionals. The fact that they have registered, it means they want to be professionals. So these bottlenecks and these regulations, we need to look at them, amend or change them, so that the picture changes. We can't have that picture that talks of 73% of male, that talk of a certain high percentage of white male dominated industries. We can't have that at this time and age. So if that those registered candidates can then be changed to registered professionals, the picture will change. It will show what actually South Africa is today and on this age. But let's say to you, as we indicated on that day when the council reported, we had CIDP before you. We raised the issue that was raised by the council. And we're still looking forward to that meeting of yours with CIDP, so that you search out. They have also promised that they are looking also at the policies in the National Treasury, because we've raised what those councils raised. I was going to say Friday today. it's the last day. We won't be having any meeting tomorrow. Honourable members, those who are travelling later today or tomorrow, travel safe to your respective conferences. And you can't not say this. You promised you are going to invite us to the transformation in Daba. No, you said it.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
These members are my witness. You said it. And we were so keen because we wanted to be there, maybe to contribute on what transformation is. Maybe those that are discussing it, they don't want to transform. They don't know what transformation is. Because they will say, we have transformed. You know, we don't see transformation. So we'll be coming in the political side, say that this is transformation. But nevertheless, we accept your apology that you have been invited us this time. Hoping that next time, when we talk transformation, we must be part of transformation in the harbor. And we're also referring it to the TM. thank you. Well, the meeting is adjourned, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.